Well, good time. Welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. We are now in the final podcast of the first parak of Masechta Ketubot in a Mishnah that begins at Daf Yud Dalet Amud Bet. It's a very short Mishnah, the last Mishnah of the parak, Mishnah Yod, which picks up on the cases that we discussed in Machlokas of Amir and Yeshua. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, of course, came several generations after the Gemara of Yeshua, tells a story that happened in his hometown of Tzipori, Sepphoris. There was a young girl who went to go fill up water from the spring, and she was raped. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and Rabbi Yossi then says, that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri ruled as follows. If a majority of the people living in the city are ones who allow marriage to a Kohen, I'll explain that in a second, and she is in that same status, which can marry Kohen. Meaning, what that means is, most of the men who live in the city are people who, if they had deal with a girl, that did not invalidate her from marrying a Kohen, such as Ovid Kohavim, Eved, etc., then that's her status. In other words, we follow Rov. And that Rov majority will be the focus of our entire discussion of Gemara. So Amar LeRav LeRav Nachman. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, the Amar Kaman. So the first thing that Rav asked his Rebbe was, this ruling from Yochanan Nuri, which one of the authorities that we've been contending with over the past couple of Mishnayot is he ruling like? Ikra B'Gamliel, we already established that B'Gamliel says that a woman is believed, even if the majority of men around would be problematic. The Mishnah says she's not believed, even if the majority are fine. Ikra B'Gamliel, if you're the girl P'suli Nami Miksha, you should even allow it, even if the majority of the men around are P'suli. Ikra B'Shua for the Rov Shemin on Paso. B'Shua has the opposite. So what's the case? Amalei Achim Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav explained the case as follows. Krono Shel Tzipori HaYamasa was during the marketplace in Sepphoris, which means you had, on the one hand, a majority of people who live in Tzipori were set there. We also had a whole lot of traders who were coming in to barter or coming from the outside. So this is this explanation, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's permission was premised on two things. One of them, and both of them are anachronistic in the way they're presented because they're both building on statements of Amoraim, but the Amoraim are explaining earlier rulings. Uchar Rabbi Ami, that's first of all, the Amar Rabbi Ami, first thing is that the people who are coming in to trade are themselves Ksherim. In other words, that a majority of what we're going to call the Siyah, the travelers who are coming into the city, themselves are people that if they had Bia, they would not invalidate the girl. Uchad Rabbi Yanai, the Amar Rabbi Yanai, Nivelet Bikronot, Sher Alekuna. Rabbi Yanai said that if she was raped, in literal translation is at the marketplace, then Sher Alekuna, meaning Kronot Sakadaita, meaning it was at the marketplace, Elo Nivelet Bishat Kronot Sher Alekuna, meaning that it happened during the time in the marketplace, which means that we'll see how the Gemara explains it. About Pireisha Chamit Tzipori Uval, but if one of the townsmen left town, went away from the main part of wherever he was in the town, and had been with her, then Havlad Shtuki, then the child would indeed be status of Safek. That's how you would treat him. And that's that statement. Now, Kihad Dechiata Rabdimi Amar Zir Amar Chanina, and this follows what Rav Dimi, when he came to Bavel, brought in the name of Ziri and the name of Rav Chanina. We have Rav Ziri Chanina, we have another version which without Rav Dimi saying the same thing. Another statement has to be fixed. To say that we follow the majority of the city, but we don't follow the majority of the traders, that's backwards. After all, the traders are the ones who are moving around, and the city people are the ones who are settled, so there's less reason to consider the rove of the people living in the city goes to the tradies. Ela holchin acharov ha'ir, v'di'ika rov siyah b'hadah. We follow a majority of the city, as long as there's also a majority of the tradies, meaning you have to have both a majority of the people living in the city on the scene of Kehina, and as well as a majority of the people who are coming in during that particular time. Ve'olchin acharov ha'ir b'reita. Now let's see why. There's really several steps to make, and it's all part of the notion that ma'ala asu b'yitzin, that we have an extra threshold, higher threshold for the issue of the Yitzchak, along with some of the Marian. Looks as follows. The majority of the city alone is not enough. The majority of the traders is not enough. My time. It's a precaution. We do not allow us to count a majority of the travelers, because we may come to count a majority of the city. Rova Inami, but even counting the majority of the city is only problematic as follows. Either cause that you need to go by if one of them left their house and went and found her, then even that would be enough, because called the parish rule of parish, we follow the principle of Rov. But Lo Tzricha, what's the case that really concerns us? Ba'azla, even the Gabayu, if she leaves where she is to come to one of them, meaning in their house, and then the Havilei Kavua, then the principle of Kavua comes in, and this is a very complex and detailed principle, so in order to streamline things, as it were, I attached a link onto the site, a shiur that is provided from the virtual Beit Midrash of Yeshiva HaRatzion. It was translated into English by Nobel laureate Professor Oman on this exact sugya, explaining within the principles of probability why Kavua and Rov are dealt with, and Kavua and Parish are dealt with differently as far as the issue of the Jordan goes. It goes through the entire sugya. What did Rabbi Zera say about Kavua? Well, Kavua kemachzal machzidami, and we're going to see an example of that in a moment. But here's the basic principle. If the group of which we need to determine what the status is based on interaction with that group. If that group has one item leave the group and come towards our affected object, then we judge it based on row. The majority of things in the group are X. There's a bunch of X and a few Y. We assume that an X came out. If, on the other hand, our affected member came into the group, we don't know which component of the group he interacted with, and we say that every member has a 50-50 chance of being the one you're interacting with, and therefore it's considered 50-50 and equal subject. Good, so in other words, we say as follows, because there's the problem of Kavua, in which case if all we have is the majority of the members of the town, and if she left where she was and went to them, then it would be a problem of Kavua, therefore we don't even allow a case of Parish, and as a result of that, we also don't allow a majority of the traders to be enough. We need a double row, as it were. Good. So now, Nivai and Trey will be, so the side question is, since when do you need two majorities? By Tanya, to settle a case of Yisur. Tanya, famous case, Teisha Chanuyot, Kulam Machor Pasar Shkutai. You got 10 stores on a street. None of them sell properly shechted meat. Vachad Machor Pasar Nevilah. One sells Nevilah. Vilakach, Vachad Mehen, Vainer Deyame, Ezen Amakach. You went into one of them, you forgot which one you went into. Sfeiko Asur. Then it's a 50-50 Safek. Each store you have to regard as being, maybe I went in there, maybe I didn't go in there, and therefore the meat is a Safek, Safek Doraita. Well, the Nimsa Lechacharo, but if you found it in the middle of the street, wrapped in a plain brown wrapper on the street in which you have that deal of 10 stores, none of which are kosher, then you follow the Rov and it's kosher. Sintena B'Shein Dal Tot Medinan Nulot, you might argue that case is only when the street itself is open to the rest of the world, which means you could also have a rove of traders coming in with kosher meat, since you have two roves, the rove on the street and the rove from the outside. So, Ka'ati la'ruba mi'alma. Rav Zera, I'll teach you, I'll talk to you now, look. Rav Zera said that case holds even if the street is blocked off, or if the city is blocked off, which means all you've got is this time. One rove is enough. That's right, ma'alas to you. So, when it comes to marriage, you have a higher threshold. Now, Gufa Rav Zera, Kol Kavua Kamatza Matzidana. Right? And so Rav Zera said the principle of Kavua. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. Well, he says this ruling, both Lekula and Lechumra. And the Malay Rav Zera Ha. How does Rav Zera know that even if you have 9 Lechumra and 1 Lekula, and if it's Kavua, you regard it as 50-50, and when 50-50 will give you a Kula, that'll be the case. Now, just as a preface, when will 50-50 give you a Kula? The easiest direction to go is Tuma. The law of Tuma is that Sofek Tuma is Tame Roshita Achid and is Tohar Roshita Abin. And that is inferred from Sota. Sota is Roshita Achid and the status of Sofek Roshita Tame. And then we learn all cases of Sofek Tuma. So if you don't know, if you touch the dead sheriff, if the event happened out in the open, you're Tahor. If it happened in a private house, you're Tame, all from there. So we'll see how this plays out. Menorah of Zeraha. How does it begin to know? If he got it from Alpius case, so what is Rabbi Zeirer saying? What's the application there? The question there is, if you went into one of them, and you don't know which one, even though nine are kosher and one is not, you say that it's asur. All that tells you is that we're machmir. I want to teach that tzfardim. You have nine frogs, which is the guy that is very, like, part of this is not Mekame, and one sheret, one with a lizard or whatever it is. And I got a chamehere, and there is an agai. You touch one of them, you don't know which one you touch, it's a kotame. So how does that help? That's the same thing, it's also a chumra. And you have shratzim, it's Friday, achamehere, here's the one. The nine lizards or whatever kind of rodents, and one frog. And I got a chamehere, and there is an agai. You touch one of them, and you don't know which one you touch. So if we regard it as rogue, it doesn't matter. We assume you touch the sheretz and you're tameh. What do we say? The shita echid stay called tameh. If you're in, we're inside a house and you touched it, or inside a private area, it's tameh. But the shita anu stay called tahor. But if it's out in the public, it's tahor. Because we're regarding it as a 50-50 safek likula. So Rabbi Zeira sees a model in the Mishnah where we see that kavua is considered 50-50 bein lachum bein lachula. Now we need to write them in Alan. And we know where Rav Zeira gets it from, but where did we get the principle from? We didn't know where Rav Zeira got it from us. But where did we get the principle from? From the Torah. On our cross, we have the one pasuk on the page, Arav lo v'kamala, we're talking about premeditated murder. The guy lays in wait and kills somebody. What's the implication? Ajit kamenu. You have to have kavanah to kill the guy, which means that any time that, let's see how this plays out, we'll be explained. Kavanah, amin raviyana, partners are like ever ago. Rabbanan say what this means is as opposed to throwing just a rock into a group and having to kill somebody, happening to kill somebody, in such a case you are not chayav, but if you intend, then indeed you are chayav. And it's Rabbanan really that we're picking up for the issue of kavua. In other words, the Tana Kama, right, the first drasha there, said unless you really intend to kill that person, you're not chayav. The Rabbanan, who's going to be a model for Mizera, said, no, it's excluding a case where you throw a rock into a group. Hechidami, which means that you don't have to intend to kill that person, you chayav. So Hechidami, even if you get yourself down the Reachad Yisrael, and if you have non-goyim and one Jew among the group, so you're not chayav, you technically do a Bukhanim legal. Of course, not chayav, you're following low. Inami Palgo Palgo, even if it's 50-50, Safek and Hashot Lahakel, that's a flight, even Safek, you're not going to execute a guy based on a Safek. So it's your chadish, that is your shayrish and any achadim. What difference? There are nine Jews and one guy in the group, and they're crowned in Kavua. What happens? Because of the rule of Kavua, every individual, 50%, here's the guy you're going to get. All Kavua, Kamech Tamech Tidami, and therefore, we see from here that the fact that in Achayav, even though nine were Jews, one was a guy, because each person there represents 50%, and therefore it's like 50-50, and therefore we say Sefet Rosh Hashanah Hakel. So you see, even in Makor in the Torah is to put into this interpretation of Rav, but become a Rav, coming out of it. Now, in Rav Rav Chia, in our Gormat Torah, Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Rav, one interpretation of Rav is Halacha Kav Yosef, the follower of Yosef. Right? Hanan Bar Rav Amar Rav, the other version of Rav is Harat Shaita. There was an exigent circumstance where Yossi permitted the girl, but normally it would not be okay. So let's see how that plays out. Meiti Rabbi Yirmiya challenges this. It says, the Yossin Abayin Trey Rubi, Rabbi Yirmiya didn't know about the addition about Kronot Shel Tzipori. And he thought it was just a simple thing. Rabbi Yochanan already said, if the majority of people in the town are Masim Akuna, she's Mutter, which means you only need one row. I got nine, Matzaba Tinok Mushlach, Kame, baby. A dead baby. A baby who was a foundling. In Rov de Kochavim, if majority of the people in the area are of the Kochavim, we assume the kid to be a goy. In Rov Yisrael, Yisrael. If majority are Jewish, we assume to be Jewish. Mechza, Mechza, Yisrael. Even 50-50 is Jewish. Now we'll see what this means at the end of the parak. The Amarav Lashar Lachiyoto. Rav said that this determination is just for keeping him alive. Aval Yuchsin, no, but for Yuchsin, that's not enough. And we assume for Yuchsin, you need, like for instance, if this is a girl, for her to be able to marry into Kahuna, you need more than just that simple love. Good. For Shmuel, Amar L'Fakeh Chalavat Agal, Shmuel said the determination is to save him on Shabbos. So the answer is, Rav Yirmiya asks, since when don't you need two robes? Here you see you need two robes for marriage. The answer is Ishtemeta Adam Rav Yehuda Amarav Tevarat Shul Tzibori Ad Maisa. Is that he just wasn't aware of that additional comment of Rav that the story of Rav Yossi happened during the time of the marketplace and there were two robes. Now, that works if you say Halachic Rav Yossi. You say Halachic Rav Yossi, meaning with the extra robe, we're Matahir. But now, according to what I said, Horat Sha'aita, Karam Barav Adamar Hachaitaya, Kashaha. So why is it an exigent ruling if you have two robes? The answer is Manamatneha, Lamatneha. He who said it was Horat Sha'ah cannot accept the other version of Rav that said it was Kronot Shel Tzipori. In other words, Rav said one statement that this happened during Kronot Shel Tzipori, which means there were two robes. Then the question is, what did Rav comment on it? Was that the halacha, or was it Horat Sha'ah? So the answer is, if Rav really said that it was Kronot Shel Tzipori, then he would say that's the halacha. If he doesn't add Kronot Shel Tzipori, so there's only one robe, so he'll say it was an exigent ruling, that you can't mix them together. That won't work. Now, the last thing we'll attend to is this foundling, Gufa. That's the quote. Since when did Shmuel say that you need any sort of a rope in order to be Mechal Shabbos to save this kid's life, and to dig and to do whatever rescue operations you need? You don't follow a rope. Even if there's the faintest chance that there's somebody who's Jewish or Mechal Shabbos for him, Shmuel should be read as being a comment on the Resha. That the ruling was that if it's majority of people around are of the Kochav, this kid's considered a goy. And Shmuel protested and said, when it comes to, not protested, but put a caveat, as far as saving his life, that's not true. If he's a majority of goyim, you still don't consider him that. And rather, you still save the life. Again, involving Chil Shabbos. Imrov of the Kochavim, of the Kochavim. Now we go over these statements. If majority of the people are of the Kochavim, he's considered of the Kochavim, the Mahilchata. After all, you say you're going to save his life anyway, so for what purpose are you calling him a goy? Papi Vachilo Nevelot, we can feed him Nevelot. Imrov Yisrael, Yisrael. Again, if it's majority Yisrael, and you said it's not good enough to let him marry, so the Mahilchata. So Papa Lachzir Laveda. Because after all, if a Jew loses something, you have to return it to him, so we do consider for Mamonot this guy to be Yisrael, but for Yuchsin, that's not enough. Mechtzal, Mechtzal, it's 50-50 Yisrael. So the Mahilchata, it's got to be something more than, something less than Lachzir Lo Aveda, 50-50. And Rashlakish to Nezakin, Rashlakish says it's for issues of payment for damages, torts. Hechidami, Yinemadanagche Torah Didam and Torah Diday, if our property, our bull, damaged his bull, and he comes first to collection, so Lemele, why don't we just say him, Aiti Radi Yisrael, prove you're a Jew, Ushko, and then you get paid. Sugim Baba Kama, and Bafon Zayin. So Lo Tzricha, the Nakhe Torah Tidei, the Torah Tidei. Now the case is that his first time ox, it hasn't damaged before, it's a Tom, attacks ours. So Palga Mashallah, half he pays. The Irech Palga, the other half, Amalah, he'll say to us, Aiti Radi Lab Yisrael, Anavetan Lachon, you prove to me that I'm not Jewish, and I'll pay the other half. In other words, a Yisrael, for a short time, pays half damages. A Kanani always pays full damages. So this fellow is a half, with the people around are exactly half and half, so we don't know what he is. We're calling him Yisrael with an asterisk. We don't return Avedo to him. On the other hand, we don't feed him an Avedo. We certainly can't let him marry in. But if his, later he grows up and his animals cause damage, and he has to pay, he pays like a Yisrael. And we say, you know, you owe more. He said, you prove to me that I'm not Jewish, and then I'll pay more, which, of course, can't be done, because the best proof that happened was when he was born, when he was found, and at that point, of course, it was half and half. So that's the end of the parak and the end of this podcast. And I want to wish everybody a Gemara Tov and a Shana Tova. And Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin the second parak, HaYisha Shenit Armala. I want you to have a wonderful day.